Good morning. It's the 17th of March. We're continuing today with the exhortation from Brother Harry Tennant. We thought yesterday about David and then said, if that is our condition at this moment, let us forsake our foolishness and come unto God. I continue. It cannot be that he will turn us away. If we seek unto him, we shall find that he is already halfway down the road to meet us, as the father was for the prodigal son. The everlasting springs of God's mercy are able to satisfy our thirst, but we must come to the waters to drink. We cannot gaze upon them from afar and hope that our parched throats will feel cool and refreshed. The call is to taste and see that the Lord is good. Come then, and let us go to the waters of forgiveness, kneel down beside them, bow the head and drink. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. God has given to us the good news and brought us to him from afar. Let us then acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will direct our steps. Our Father desires to separate us from our sins, and, like so many paradoxes in God's ways, the confession of our weakness is the opportunity for strength. As strong as is our desire for forgiveness, just so great is the forgiveness. As much as we hope for mercy, so much do we receive it. There is one final aspect of this matter which gives us confidence and warning. Let us first consider the warning and take heed. Putting the matter in its bluntest terms, the terms which the Scripture uses, if we fail to confess our sins, we make a liar of God. You will remember the words in 1 John 1, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. No brother or sister would be heard saying, I am sinless. The idea is too ridiculous. But, says John, if you are one of those people who refrain from good and honest confession, then you are saying to God, I have no sin. And that is mocking him and making him a liar. For he has recorded that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So much for the warning. Let us never imagine for one moment that we can treat lightly the extended hand of God. Now let us look at the confidence which John is assured of and confirms in his first epistle. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Perhaps of all the works of Christ, this is the most neglected. Yet apart from the glorious work of this heavenly high priest, there is no hope for the saints. What does John mean when he says that we have an advocate with the Father? What is an advocate, and how is the term applicable to Jesus? A little careful examination with the aid of a concordance reveals hidden beauties. Like shy violets in the hedgerow, whose beauty is revealed only to the observant and the seeking. The word advocate is exactly the same word which is translated comforter in the Gospel of John. We have a comforter with the Father, is the meaning of the phrase. And the comfort which the compassionate, understanding and all-powerful Son of God can render is absolutely beyond comparison. Let us be ever confident of this one thing. He understands us completely, and his one great desire is to help us. We frustrate that loving compassion only in so far as we fail to ask for it. If he had asked some great thing from us, would we not have done it? Let us then humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and seek for his mercy in prayer. There can be no doubt about the fact that the fervent prayer of a righteous man evokes a response from heaven. Thank you for listening.